I'm not sure if you are aware that today has been declared a national day of prayer, but we wanted to take a moment and think about that. I said that to a friend this morning during our pastor's prayer, and he said, I thought the National Day of Prayer was in May, and it is. It always is. But the other day when the president announced that this virus situation had become a declared it a national emergency here in America, there's now 48 people in our state, in Pennsylvania, that have been infected by this virus, and they're certainly expecting it to become more and more. And when he declared a state of emergency, he also asked that today, this Sunday, March the 15th, would be set aside as a national day of prayer. And you know, I'm sure that there are people praying all around the country, but certainly here at First Church, we wanted to take a moment and do just that, pray for our country and people that are affected by this virus, for people that are trying to find answers to what can be done, and also for the faith community as we respond in appropriate ways to everyone that is around us. I'd like to start with this verse. It's probably a verse that you're all familiar with. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I actually have my Bible here because I wanted to point something out to you from it. But you're familiar with 7:14. It says, if my people, who are my people? That's you and me. You know, I'm sure that probably there might be somebody in here that would be a seeker. Maybe you haven't crossed that line of faith yet. But this word is to the people of God, to the believers. Who is that here this morning? That's me and you. Okay, so this is a declaration for God's people to be a people of prayer. Matter of fact, it says, of my people who are called by my name. Who are you? What are you? I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. You're a believer. We're called by His name. You know, there's a slogan from the independent Christian churches and churches of Christ, of which we are a part, that says that we're not the only Christians, but we want to be Christians only. So we're His people. We're called by His name. We should humble ourselves. Are we humble? Well, maybe that's a question we need to work on. I don't know about you, but I certainly need to humble myself. But He says if we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, what does it say? It says, then God will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and heal our land. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's what we're praying for. We're praying to heal our land. We're praying that this virus would be gone, would be eradicated, that people that are sick would get better, that people that are really sick would not die. And we're praying that this would no longer be a situation where people can't go on with their daily lives because it is such a disruption to everything that we are doing. So I just call you to pray as this verse calls us to pray. Now, I brought my Bible out here because I wanted to remind you of the context of this verse. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is actually the dedication of the temple that was built by Solomon. Now, if you go to chapter 6 and chapter 5 it says that the Ark of the Covenant is brought to Jerusalem so that it could reside in this new temple. Chapter 6 is Solomon's prayer of dedication for the temple. And that prayer is continued and finished in chapter 7. And it says in chapter 7 that the people took 22,000 cattle and sacrificed them to the Lord. Took 120,000 sheep and goats and sacrificed them to the Lord. If you see there, and if you look in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the first few verses, it says that God's presence was so evident in this new temple of God that the priests could not even go into the temple. Think about that. I think that's kind of ironic how so many of our churches today, and it may come that we have to do that too, that we can't meet publicly. See, here's the neat thing. It's the difference between then and now. Then, the temple housed the presence of God. But it's different now. God lives in the heart of every one of us. The Bible says that His Word is written on our hearts. And the interesting thing about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, just before we pray here, is that after the dedication, after the sacrifices, it said that Solomon dismissed the people and they all went home. And then in verse 14 is part of a discourse that God had with Solomon. It's almost as if God was saying, listen, that place that you built in my name and in my honor, that's really nice, but that's not what I'm most interested in. I mean, that place that you built, that you spared no expense, oh my goodness, it is ornate, it is beautiful, but here's what I want. I want a people who are called by my name, who will humble themselves, and who will pray. And he said, if we do that, if we seek his face, if we turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven, he will forgive our sin, and heal our land. Folks, I don't know about you, that's what I want. I want our land to be healed. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want my prayers to be heard. So we must respond, not with ornate buildings, but in knowing that we are a special people because God resides in our heart. Remember the plagues that came upon Egypt? And I'm not one of those that are going to say, you know what, this is a plague that God is sending down on us. But I do know this, that when it came time for the firstborn to die of every living thing, God's people put blood above their doors. And it said that when the death angel came through the towns and the communities, that he saw the blood over the door and he passed over that door. And they were spared losing their firstborn. Listen, folks, we have the blood, the covering of Jesus Christ. So we can pray today and know, the Bible says, be strong and courageous. Philippians says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So we come today as a community of faith to pray in this manner, the way that we've been asked to. So would you bow with me? And let's pray. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we pray first of all that we would have the proper attitude, Lord, to come to you. That, Father, we would have the proper humility, that we would understand, Lord, that our sin is such a hindrance to our relationship with you. And even, Lord, as we cry for forgiveness, and cry for healing, that in many ways, Lord, that depends on the prayers of the people of God. So, Lord, as your people, we come to you today and we ask that you would be with us during this time of testing in our communities, in our cities, in our country, Lord, and even in our world. And we pray, Lord, for those who have been affected by this terrible virus. And even though, Lord, the aftermath has been very slight here, there are places in the world, Lord, that have been devastated by this. That thousands and thousands of people have been affected and even thousands of people have died. Certainly, Lord, in America, we've seen many, many cases and there are a number of deaths. And even here, Lord, in our state, we have a number of people that are affected. And they're saying, Father, that it could get so much worse. So we pray, Lord, for your intercession. We pray, Lord, that you would eradicate this virus from our lives, from our bodies, from our towns and cities. And we pray, Lord, that we would come back with strength and vitality. And that every sector, Lord, of our lives would benefit from your intersection into our lives. And we pray, Lord, not only for those that have been affected by this virus, but we pray also, Lord, for those leaders of our country, for President Bush and for others that are trying to make decisions that will help. Lord, as I heard yesterday, they're talking about flattening the curve, where they don't want things to get so bad so quickly that our health system and our hospitals and our clinics are overrun with people, Lord, that need care. So God, I pray that we would be able to slow the spread of this virus in such a way that it would not have the cumulative effect of so many emergencies around our land. I pray also, Lord, for the health officials. I pray for the scientists and the people in the laboratories, Lord, that are trying to understand this virus and study this virus and produce a vaccine for this virus. I pray, Lord, for their safety and also, Lord, for their success, so that, Lord, things could be done, things could be given, like happens so often in our health community, Lord, when we get sick and we have so many people, so many smart people looking into these things that they can do things and give us things and medications that make such a difference. I pray for those, Lords, that are for those people that are looking for those answers. I pray also, Lord, for the health officials that are on the front line, the doctors, the nurses in the ER, the people, Lord, in the doctor's offices who are treating people who have symptoms. Keep these folks safe, Lord, and may what they do, may their treatments be effective, Father, and may healing come. And Lord, I also pray, more than probably anything else, I pray for the community of faith, for the church, for us here, Father. This is giving us an opportunity to respond appropriately to people in our society with the love and mercy from Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to overcome our flippant attitude. God, I know I have a tendency sometimes to try to say something humorous so that people won't feel so bad about the situation they're in. But Lord, this is certainly no laughing matter. So help us to share with sobriety the extreme importance of this time, Father, and how serious we take this. I pray for the community of God, Lord, that we can respond with grace and with mercy and love and with compassion. May we fight the urge, Lord, to do what I heard one lady describe last night in a local store, how someone had said something very racist about someone else they saw in that store. God, help us to fight those urges and help us just to love and care about every person that is around us. And certainly, Lord, those that are so vulnerable, our elderly, those in nursing homes and hospitals, we just pray, Father, that you would be their strength. And finally, God, help us to put our trust and our faith in you. God, the Bible says that we can look at the birds of the air and they don't toil or spin, but yet you care for them. And it also says that you love us so much more than them. The Bible says, Lord, that we should be strong and courageous, that we should not spend one day worrying, but by faith, Lord, know that our life is in your hands. So God, may we pray for all of the officials around us that have a part in this, but most of all, Father, may we trust you to see us through this. Because even, Lord, if the calamity and the catastrophe is worse than anyone can ever imagine, God, you still love us. And you're going to see us through. And when this old world is over, we get heaven and eternity with you. So, Father, help us to trust in you for all of that. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, that's part one, okay? You ready for part two? It's not going to be long, but I think it is so very important. I want to talk to you today about this passage of Scripture when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We know that as what? The Great Commission. Go into all the world. Matthew says it like this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, Jesus, we're reminded in John 3:16 that God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we could find salvation through Him, so we don't have to perish. So what I want to share with you just for a moment is this idea about how God gave and how He tells us that we should go. God gave His one and only Son. God told us to go. What does that look like in your life? I mean, go. I mean, we all understand John 3:16, for God gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. God gave His one and only Son as a sacrifice for us, and then He encouraged us to go. God gave, and we go. What does that go look like in your life? You know, I think about that, and I think about missions in general. And I think about how in the 50s, a lady here at First Church by the name of Sarah Steer went and became a medical missionary in the country of Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. How several years ago, we actually went back to that same town that she worked in, and we actually built a home in an orphanage in her memory and in her honor, the Sarah Steer Home. You know, I think about, you know, Josh was up here playing the drums with Julie, and Josh's father, Jim Hamer, was a Timothy of First Church many, many years ago in the late 60s and the early 70s. He answered the call into ministry, and he spent his entire adult life serving in the kingdom of God. I'm glad when he heard God say go, that he went. You know, Julie up here, she was talking, and you heard her in the video. I was in school with Julie down at Johnson University many years ago, and I remember meeting her, and she said she heard God say go, and she went. I thank God for that. I think about all the students over the last number of years that have gone to Bible college and is now in ministry. Even our very own Alex, you know, the young man here, went. When he heard God say go, and now he's back here serving full time in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I love that. Listen, folks, this church has always been so serious about serving missionaries that heard God say go and they went. Did you know that this year, 2020, that the First Church of Christ has set aside $122,000 in our mission budget? From the offerings that you and I give each week, there's $122,000 set aside for mission support. Isn't that incredible? That's wonderful. And you know what? There's so much more than that. I think about like these two young people here who we've asked you to help support them and their ministry this summer, and I think that their mission work will be totally funded when we're done here today. That's wonderful. That money's over and above that. You know, a couple months ago, we had a sister church here in town, the Altoona Restoration Church of God. They're having a tough time. They asked us to help support their spaghetti dinner that they had, and we literally had dozens and dozens of people here from First Church go down and support them that way. Do you know we also gave them a $2,000 gift from our mission fund? $2,000 to help support them. That's over and above that $122,000. Did you know that here at First Church that we have over 150 children sponsored through Compassion International? More than 150. That's $38 per month per child. Do the math. That's a lot of money given to support children all around the world. Isn't that beautiful? One of the most awesome things about this church is that we are mission-minded. When we have heard and seen people that have heard God say go, they've gone and we've supported them. The hoax that are in Burkina Faso serving in a 100% Muslim area trying to just teach people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Browns that are actually serving the Lord down in the country of Peru in South America. It is incredible. They heard God say go, and we've partnered with them to be a part of that ministry. That's one of the most beautiful things about this church, is that when people heard God say go, they went and said that they would go. Let me tell you a little story. Several years ago, when I was in Ethiopia with Kristen, my daughter, for one whole summer, and I took a leave of absence from here, and I went over there, and we served because she was interested in missions. And we went over there and we served. And I remember when it got dark, you just went to bed. There wasn't anything else to do. And I remember one night I was laying there on the ground on my mattress in my bed. I was reading a book and by candlelight. And I was having a hard time, you know, getting in a position where I could see the pages with the candlelight. So I came up with this ingenious idea. I took the candle and I set it on my chest. And I held the book there. And it was amazing how good that worked until I fell asleep. And sometime later I woke up and I noticed that the candle had burned down significantly. And it scared me to death. And I thought, John, that by far was the stupidest thing that you've ever done up until this point in your life. Now, there's been stupid things since then, but up until that moment, that was the top of the mountain for me. And I remember thinking, you know what? This mission isn't for me. Number one, I missed Arlene terribly. You know, I really did. I mean, I enjoyed the work. I mean, I love to talk to people about the Lord. But you know, it was just. You know, I was there trying to help my kid, you know, experience this. And, you know, I just had a different mindset. And I remember I was just so homesick to be with Arlene. I remember when we came home after a couple of months and, you know, we landed at the airport and we got out and I'm looking down the hallway and I see Arlene down there and she's like, John, and she comes running to me and, you know, and I got my arms out and my thought is that, you know, she's going to hurt me. She looked like a linebacker on the Penn State team or something. I thought, she's going to hurt me when she's going to tackle me right here in the airport. But you can imagine the embrace. And you know what? I came to think this way. Thank God for people that heard God say go. But it's not for all of us. But you know what is for all of us? This idea of go, it's not, yes, it's go. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go. That's our mandate to go. But there's also another way to look at this. Now notice the subtle difference in this, because I've heard this said that this word go in the original languages also could mean as you go. You know, Jesus said that, you know, in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? That it starts in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and then in the whole world. And he said this one commentator said that we could understand this to not just mean go. I thank God for those people that heard God say go and they disrupted their lives. And they went over into a cross-cultural situation and they set up a ministry that lead people to the Lord and teach brand new people about the Lord or translate the scriptures into the languages of the world. I love that people have answered that call. But you know what? We all need to answer this second call, which is as we go. Because you know what? God may not be calling you to Africa or South America or Asia or anywhere else, but He is calling you right here. And you know what the neat thing is that we can come along beside these missionaries and have a tremendous impact on them. I mean, you heard them say, what will we do without First Church of Christ? You know, that you've blessed us so much. You've been so faithful in giving. Almost any time Julie's been here, she said, you know what, I just appreciate your support so much. And it's always at just the right time. I go to the mailbox, and there's a check from my family at First Church of Christ. And she said, always comes at just the right time. $122,000 this year, plus so many other ways that God's going to use us to bless other people. But here's the thing, folks. I want you to see yourself on the mission field as much as anybody else. Because listen, folks, the people that hear the call of God when He says go, and they disrupt their lives and they go, they can't be totally successful without people like you and me back here that give and sacrifice and work and draw attention to what's happening and allow God to use us to bless them. So that's my message for you today. God gave, and we go. I thank God for those people that heard God say go and they went. But I also thank God for all of you who, as you go, you allow God to use you in wonderful and meaningful ways. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this time that we can use to set aside to draw attention to the missionary endeavors, Lord, that are part of our family of faith here. And God, I know that all the missions that we support are listed there in the bulletin this morning. And as we go through that list, Lord, may we on the one hand thank God for these people who heard you say go and they went. But also, Lord, may we thank you for those that have supported, prayed for those people, Lord, that as they go, that maybe they're not in a foreign country, in a foreign land, speaking a foreign language, but that, Lord, they're allowing you to use them, to use their prayers, to use their support, to use, Lord, their voices as they support these ministries all around the world. God, thank you that we're a part of a family here that thinks this is so important. That God, in times past when things become tight and money is tight, that the last thing, Father, that we consider doing is to decrease the amount of support for missions. So God, bless us as we bless them, and as we are blessed, allow us the faith, Lord, to bless even more and more and more. Lord, thank you for all those that have spoken with us here today. Help us, Lord, to support and to encourage those out in our entryway today. And most of all, Father, may we be a community of faith that responds appropriately, not only, Lord, to this idea of missions, but even, Father, during this difficult time in our country and in our world right now, as we collectively fight this virus. And Father, we pray for your presence to be upon us and in us through all of this and more. In Jesus' name we pray.